Good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Ryan Smithy, and with Chip Horton.
Good morning.
And certainly thankful that you all have been able to join us as we continue our journey through the Old Testament. And we are certainly enjoying that opportunity to continue looking as God progresses here. You know, we've been through Genesis. God has kind of whittled us down, if you will, to this family through whom he's going to bring the Christ, the Messiah. And now they have grown to this great nation in Egypt. He has brought them forth. They have spent this time wandering. Now it's about time to go into the land. And there are some final charges. This is a large part of how I look at the book of Deuteronomy, is this final charge to go in and now be faithful. And God has been with you. And if you will be with him, he will continue that. And so great exhortations there near the end of Moses' life. And so this morning, I invite you to be turning to Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Chip and I were talking, and we've had such large sections to cover. And we come to this third address, and for a large part, it's contained here in 27 and 28. We maybe could have stretched that through 30, but we'll look at those chapters today, and then Lord willing, Chip will wrap us up tomorrow with the book of Deuteronomy. I do want to make mention, at least here, of one event that I want you to keep in mind, and that's going on this week, and that's a gospel meeting at the Atlanta Church of Christ. You have opportunity tonight and tomorrow night to get out there at 7 p.m., and Adam Orr is the speaker for that event, and I don't have the title in front of me, but I believe it's the idea of the seed. And so tonight, tomorrow night at the Atlanta Church of Christ, certainly encourage you to be a part of that. And stay with us. We may come back at the end if we have some time and hit on some of those upcoming events, but wanted to hit that one that's going on even right now. With that, Chip, let's go ahead and jump in here. You know, I dealt with this a little bit yesterday, and I want to come back to the same idea, and it's that idea of remembrance. That's the word that comes to my mind a lot. There seems to be a repetition almost. We've already talked about it. Moses brings it up again, and it's this idea that God is going to bless you, and he already is. He's taking you in. He's going to give you this land if you'll just go in and do it. And as long as you continue walking with him, he's going to continue blessing you. Your crops are going to flourish. Your children are going to thrive. Things are going to go well with you and with all of the people. But if you drift away from him, and if you turn and stop following after him, then those blessings are going to be removed, and they're going to be replaced by these cursings. No longer are your crops going to thrive. No longer are you going to enjoy the prosperity that you once did. No longer are all of these blessings going to be multiplied unto you, and you're going to suffer because of the choices and the consequences that you have made. And so there is this reminder. And even as I think into the New Testament, that word or idea of remembrance is a continual theme, that you have heard the gospel, you've believed the gospel, you've obeyed the gospel, now don't be moved away from the gospel. I think even as Paul is writing unto Timothy, and he writes there in verse 6 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up unto the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And so, Timothy, your charge is not to come up with some new thing. it's not to try to find something that you think is new and unique and that people have never heard before. Your charge is to put them in remembrance of the things that they've already heard. Certainly our charge is to go forth into the gospel, into the world, spread the gospel to those that have never heard it, but it's also not just evangelism, but it's edification. The building up, the strengthening. And so that continual theme is going to be there. We dealt a little bit yesterday. I mentioned 2 Peter chapter 1, where Paul is going, or Peter, as he's writing, is going to be saying the same things again. Look, the things I'm writing unto you, if you will grow in these Christian graces, it will make you where you'll never fall. If you don't move away, you won't fall. And so, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, 2 Peter 1 and verse 13, I think it meet to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep on reminding you. I'm going to keep on putting these things in your mind once again, so that even after I'm gone, verse 15, you will remember these things. You will have them in mind. And I can't help but think that's part of Moses' mindset here, is my time is short. I can't go with you into the promised land, and so I'm going to do everything I can to help put you in remembrance of these things. Mm-hmm. Chip, any kind of thoughts as we open up there?
Well, you mentioned 2 Peter 1:13, and I thought, you know, that's he saw that as his Christian duty.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we see here, you know, Moses, that's his duty, you mm-hmm. know, and so we have a duty as well. And certainly as, you know, the gift that we have, being able to stand before a congregation on a weekly basis, you know, we have that same duty mm-hmm. to remind the brethren, though they be grounded, though they be settled mm-hmm. in these things, we still have an opportunity to remind them. I mean, you know, is it wrong to preach on marriage and divorce and remarriage? No, because that's something that's in the text that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. You know, we have little ones that are coming up. And we certainly want them to hear these same messages, doctrinal facts and issues that need to be worked on a regular basis. You know, some areas of the church, you know, around the country maybe are weaker because they have stayed away from some of these particular topics, you know, so we don't offend anybody. But mm-hmm. as I read through these two chapters, it doesn't appear that Moses is afraid of offending anybody.
Right.
So,
that's for
sure. Our duty.
And, you know, you mentioned that word, the idea of duty there, and how Moses, as a leader, a good leader is not just concerned about himself, and ultimately a good leader is not just concerned about his current generation. Right. A good leader is going to be looking to the future. And so this is going to help establish them even after Moses is long gone. Mm-hmm. At least that's the intention.
That gets into tomorrow, I think it's chapter 30, where he says that both thou and thy seed mm-hmm. may live, down at the end of chapter 30. And so he is looking forward to the next generations.
That's right. One other thought along those lines, then, I guess, is the idea that here we're about to read, and he'll command this altar to be made, really an altar of remembrance. And, you know, of course, we look into the New Testament. We have the weekly remembrance of the Lord's Supper, even as Paul would write to the Christians at Corinth, that when we take of the bread and when we drink of the fruit of the vine, we do this in remembrance. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24 and 25, that is our memorial. It's that which is there to continually remind us. And that's what these altars were going to be. I think of this one. I think of the tabernacle itself and all of its worship. I think of even Joshua, that's going to have the altar set up as a stone of remembrance that God had brought them over the River Jordan. All of those things stand as a memorial, that they would see these things. Number one, they would remember. You remember the Lord your God that brought you over. You remember the blessings that God is giving you, but also to be as a teaching tool. Mm-hmm. Your children are going to see it and ask, what do these things mean? And you can tell them that's a reminder to us mm-hmm. To serve God. That's a reminder to us of all that God had done. And so these things were important. And certainly it challenges us to keep in the forefront of our minds the Word of God. And where Israel failed was because they didn't listen to chapters such as Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And where we're going to fail is when we forget the Word of God, when we allow it to drift out of our minds and our daily lives, and we're no longer transformed by it. then we'll find ourselves drifting further and further away from God. And so as we look at these chapters, I know we're talking about events of long ago that don't, as such, apply to us, but there are some great lessons that we would certainly do well to learn as we look through here. Well, let's jump off and go ahead and read a chunk of this chapter 27. Let's look maybe at verse 1 through 8.
And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. Therefore, it shall be, when ye shall be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt not build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God with whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings there on unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly."
Okay, so first you have here this memorial. Number one, there's the promise. You are going over Jordan. God is going to bring you over. He is going to establish you. And so it's not the idea of, if you ever make it over into Canaan, I want you to do this thing. There's coming a day in which God is going to bring you safely over the River Jordan. And when he does, I want you to remember who did that. Remember that it was the Lord your God. It wasn't your hand. It wasn't your strength. It wasn't your power. God had delivered you safely over into Canaan. And so when these things happen, notice there even in verse 2, it shall be on the day when you pass over. I don't know if that is a literal idea of this is the moment you step foot over there, that very day you need to go and do this. It may be colloquially just that idea of very soon, quickly, at the time when you pass over. But nevertheless, even at that, either way we take that phrase, this is to be of priority. This should be one of the first things that you do when you pass over the River Jordan into that land that God is going to give you. I want you to take these great stones, and we're going to, if I understand right, it's actually the idea of engraving these stones, and then the plaster is applied over that kind of as a protective covering. And I think that's a carry back to even Egyptian hieroglyphics that were done much the same way. You know, my mind often is some kind of wall plaster that they could then etch in. Either idea, the effect's going to be there's this great memorial there with these laws that are written on it. And again, this needs to be first. It needs to be primary, because this is going to be that reminder. God has kept his promise. Now we need to continue walking with him. And when I think of remembrance, again, going back to the New Testament, we need to have that continual reminder. I think of the Hebrew writer, and might think about Hebrews 10:32, call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. What you started, you need to keep on. We need to remember what we have been blessed with. We need to remember what we have been given. And so you can attach with that then the ideas of you keep growing, you keep learning, you keep studying. Why do we keep on reading the Word of God? Someone could say, "Well, I read it. I know what it says. I know what's contained therein." But we need that continual reminder, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Mm-hmm. And give diligence or study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a diligence that is implied there that we're going to keep on looking to the word of God as our guide, as our director, if you will, to know how to live. That's what Israel needed, and that's what we need even today.
Mm-hmm.
That guidance, that remembrance, to keep these things in the forefront of their mind. And indeed, one can fast forward to the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 8,
mm-hmm.
and look there in about verse 30 and following, and you're going to see Joshua is going to keep this commandment, because they're going to go over, they're going to set up these stones, they're going to engrave them with these laws.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, notice here the purpose, that there is this reminder that God has done this, as well as this teaching tool to keep these words of God before them, to help teach them these things. And it's as if this is their agreement.
Mm-hmm.
We know what God expects of us. We've written it, we've recorded it, and as we go through this chapter, we're going to see even this idea of an agreement with these things. And so these stones are to be set up, attesting to God's word, God's deliverance, and also their agreement with these things. And so Ebal is going to be the mount upon which these stones are to be set up. And it's interesting here that really as we continue through this chapter, the blessings aren't so much enumerated. I think the blessings in this sense are understood. You know what God can do for you, you know what he will do for you, but here's the warnings that are going to happen if you fail
mm-hmm.
to continue to remember, if you fail to put God first in your life and continue to follow after him. Notice even here in Deuteronomy 27 and verse 9 that Moses and the priests and the Levites are to speak unto the people, saying, take heed. You take note. You write these things, as it were, upon your heart, that you remember you are the people of God. And even verse 10 there, remember to obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments.
Mm.
Do these things that we have set up. You know, this isn't just a general guidebook. It's not just a book of a warm, fuzzy feelings. Mm. Here are instructions on how God expects his people to live. We won't go through every verse here, but notice he gives instructions concerning how these things are to be carried out. They're to build the altar on the same day Moses is speaking to them, down to about verse 12, that you build these things on Mount Gerizim. You're going to divide up the tribes. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin are all going to stand upon Mount Gerizim. On Mount Ebal are going to stand Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And so there's this general division of the tribes on Gerizim and Ebal. And here they are going to speak. And through the end of this chapter here, verse 14, you have the Levites speaking in a loud voice so that everyone can hear there as they've been gathered together. And notice the pattern. He's going to set forth here some specific things, specific cursings that they are to remember, that they are to keep in the forefront of their mind. We don't have the entirety here, but I believe we could say here certainly that these are the transgressions, things that are going to happen if you don't continue walking with God. And so there are some specific things that are lined out by way of example. And so there are cursings that are going to come upon individuals, and even there's a cursing that's going to come upon you as a people, as a nation, if you don't continue walking with God. Verse 15 here as an example. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, or that is an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And here's what I want you to know is all the people shall answer and say amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've hit on this before. Amen is that idea of let it be so.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vocal agreement here. And so can you imagine here the people gathered together, these instructions led forth, and there's an agreement to these things. Amen. Let it be so.
Mm-hmm.
There's a recognition. These things are true. They are just. They are certain. And so they know the consequence, and they will continue to be reminded if they do this. They are reminded of the consequence of ceasing to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's an idea brought to my mind there of the significance that the people need to respond in this way, because it is a recognition that we know and understand. I haven't been in the courtroom system a lot in our nation, but even today there's that idea of, do you understand the charges that are brought against you?
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to understand and be of sound mind and competence to be able to even comprehend that he has broken a law, that he has transgressed that law, and he is guilty of that law. But here's the nation of Israel, and God is having them stand before him and say, this is what's going to happen. And there is a verbal recognition there. We understand, and we are committing ourselves unto that.
Mm.
I don't know of a lot that I could... There's concepts I think I can go into the New Testament. You know, even the confession that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verbal confession made with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
There is that idea, I know what God expects, and I'm ready to follow him. Our lives are to be that continued confession of him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33 always comes to mind. You know, sometimes we mention that in terms of the confession made before baptism, but really Matthew 10 is the confession of how we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That we are continuing to say God is right and just and good, and I want to live according to his will. One other thought there, and I'll try to pause and let you get a word in if you want, Chip, but Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul is as it were, beseeching, he's begging, I want you to continue, because of the very mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the idea that as you live this, you're going to see this is right, this is true, and it's going to bear pronouncement to others as well. This is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the best way in which to live. And here the people are saying, we understand. We know God's will. We understand the consequences, but we want to continue following with him. And again, without going into detail of every verse, I think that's a good concept of what's happening here in chapter 27.
Well, notice the rollout here. And again, you know, there's much more to it. But as you see the opening, even of verse 15 that you mentioned, it reminds me of the way that the law rolls out in Exodus chapter 20,
mm-hmm.
because God immediately begins with no graven image. And so, you know, first things first, that was no accident that was mentioned first. And then as this continues to roll out, certainly these things that follow are things that are an abomination before him. But again, it's the way we interact with one another. You know, you don't mm-hmm. move your neighbor's landmark. You don't lay with your daddy's wife. I mean, you don't do these things because they are immoral. They are wrong. But again, the way that we interact with God, the way we interact with one another, And again, flash forward to, you know, maybe the judgment scene of Matthew 25, you know, a great portion of that judgment that we will answer for in the last day, which we will all do, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, is based on the way we interact one with another. And so here, you know, as a nation of people that's being given a land, be careful how you interact with one another, because it directly influences your relationship with God. And so as they, you know, hear these things from, you know, they're in this amphitheater, you know, in the base of these two lofty places. And they are absolutely saying, let it be so. And I couldn't help but think while you were speaking a moment ago of, you know, the day that Samuel tried to deal with them when they're screaming, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. And God says, well, tell them this is how it's going to be. And virtually they said, amen. Right. They said, that's what we want. And that's what they got, sure enough.
Certainly true. It, you know, kind of wrap up a little bit there with that very last verse. Verse 26 at the end there of Deuteronomy chapter 27. It's the end of those sayings. But it's really a great summary statement there of everything that they've been saying. Cursed be he that conformeth not all the words of this law to do them. And the people shall say, amen. Now, again, I'm relying upon some others here, but I don't believe what they are etching on that day is just some of the words of the book of Deuteronomy. I don't believe it's just the first 10 commandments that had been given there in Exodus chapter 20, but rather a representative whole of all that God, he's been talking about going back to Exodus 20 all the way up to this point. And I have a note here that the people, the Jews, regarded the number of this law as some 613. And so there were about, probably maybe, if that's true and accurate, some 613 laws that they have taken here out of what has been commanded and instructed and given to them. And so they're writing these things upon the altar. There's that remembrance of them, and then they're calling out these ideas. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be cursed if you don't continue in these things. And so the idea there, again, of the whole, you go forth and you do all. It's not up to us to pick and to choose what we like, what we think God might have meant, or what we had hoped that he might have meant. But really, you go forth and you do all that which God has said. And again, we come into the New Testament. There are differences. And certainly, we serve under a superior system, no doubt to that. But when I look at something like Matthew 7 and verse 21, and not everyone that saith unto me in that, well,
in that day, I have this.
I have
thing.
A different verse in my mind, and they're crossing over. So let me not misquote it, but just get there and read it. But Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, that doesn't leave us a room, again, to pick and choose what we want to do. He's setting before us the idea, much like Moses is, here's the word of God. There are blessings if you do it, and there are cursings if you don't. I've always gone to that verse, chapter 7 and verse 21 there, is that idea of one verse that encapsulate both the blessing and the cursing. If you don't do the will of God, you're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. But if you do the will of God, you are entering into the kingdom of heaven. Both of them are set forth for us there as a choice. Now it's in your court. What are you going to do with it? And so these reminders are here before them. Now it's remarked as we go into chapter 28 that Moses, in a sense here, is enlarging upon the things that he has said, giving some greater detail as to the effect and the impact on the lives of these people, helping them to understand you have a choice here as to what's going to happen in your future. how you live every day that you go forth into the land of Canaan is going to be directly reflected on how it goes for you in the land of Canaan. And here are people with such a bright hope and a bright future before them. I can only imagine the frustration that would be known by Moses if he could see the future. Stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, just as you were in the wilderness. In many ways, you're going to keep on being like that after you go in. We have some good years of conquest. They weren't all years of faithfulness, but the years of conquest went well. Mm-hmm. The years of Joshua went fairly well, and even those elders who served with Joshua in their lifetimes, things went well. But remember, it's not a very long period of time between here, the close of Deuteronomy, and the book of Judges. Mm-hmm. And we know that the book of Judges is not a pretty picture. Mm-hmm. We enter into that cyclical period where the people will drift away from God. They will forget these words. They'll stop following him. They'll follow after the idols of the land. And God will give them up into an oppressor. And finally, the people will have so much that they will cry out unto God, and he will give them a judge, a deliverer, raise them up again, and have some years of faithfulness. And then they start the cycle all over again as they begin to slip away and fall away from God. And these warnings are set forth here to help them to understand those things happen to you because of the choices that you have made. Again, before we get into chapter 28, think about the New Testament example of that. Of how often are we reminded your blessings, and certainly looking to a greater extent, your eternal reward is based on what you have chosen in life. I've set before you eternal life. I've given you the opportunity to be called the sons of God. You can have the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. But you're making that choice. You're going to determine if you're going to be faithful or not. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things that he had done in his body. The choices that you made in life are what we're going to stand before the very throne of God. I think even there in the book of Revelation, as we begin to picture that great judgment scene and the books are open, well, what is it that by which we are judged? But the things that we have done, how we have lived. And that's the message for this nation. It's how you have lived. And so whether it's good or whether it's evil, that's the reward that you are going to get. And so, Chip, if you don't mind, let's just open up chapter 28 with those first four verses.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep.
And really, that keeps on going. The first 14 verses there really lay out these blessings that God is going to do these wonderful things for you. But notice here, there is a conditioning statement, if you will. I note again there, verse 1 and 2, it's going to come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments. Verse 2, again, if, right there at the end of the verse, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, that's when these blessings are going to, I love the way he describes it there in verse verse 2, they're going to overtake you, almost as if the blessings of God will overwhelm you, almost more than you know what to do with, if, but it's conditional, if you continue to hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Right here in the middle, verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And again, at the end of this section of blessings, in verse 13 and verse 14, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God that I observe, or I command thee this day to observe and do them. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. And so throughout, at the beginning, at the very middle, and at the end of this section of 14 verses that set forth these blessings, there's these conditional statements that continue to remind us these are dependent on your choice. If you listen to God, if you remember his words, and if you do them. Again, it's not enough just to go over and to enjoy the blessings of God. It's not enough just to go over and enjoy the blessings of God and know what he said unto you. You have to know that, but then you also have to do it. And so that's what's being enjoined or laid upon them, as you will, if you will, these instructions in which to listen. And he's going to set forth here in those 14 verses that idea that here are all these blessings that are going to come upon you, but verse 15 through 68, a larger section there.
Yeah,
here are the cursings, and in many ways you can go down through there and trace the opposing pairs, if you will. If you look in verse 1 through 14 as you're reading those blessings, for example, verse 4, blessed is going to be the fruit of thy body, but no more in the section of the cursings, the fruit of the cattle, but no more. As he talks about, looking for an example here,
31, your ox shall be slain before thine eyes.
there was one, oh, here we are in verse 7. The Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Well, there's an opposing voice to that. If you don't listen, you're the one that's going to be fleeing out seven ways. And so this idea of defeat, so richly blessed or richly cursed, and the choice is in your hand. Now, one thing that, and I wish I had a greater list before me and had been able to make that up, but I'll give you a challenge and a homework assignment. Go forth through this chapter, and I couldn't help but think, as we were reading it, of at least one occasion in the history of Israel, and sometimes maybe more than one. But you've looked at these blessings, and certainly God would bless them. He gave them the land. He gave them great richness. And I can't help but think of David and Solomon's reigns, of which you have that great golden age of Israel, and how they were swollen with great riches and blessings and all of these things that had come upon them. But then now as we get into the cursings and you drop into verse 15, it will come to pass, or shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command thee this day, and all the curses that shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And so now he enters into this this idea of all of these cursings and all of these things that are going to come upon them and the hardships they're going to have. And I look at this nation and I say, you had the warnings. And here's that idea of that homework assignment. Go and look and see the fulfillment of these things. Go and look and see where they were indeed scattered. I mean, you start right in the book of Judges. that here, you know, you get to, I believe it's Gideon, and he's cowering in the hidden places trying to sift out his wheat. I mean, because the enemies have prevailed against them. They're fearful. There's not enough food. Their enemies taking it away from them. They're being oppressed. We see these curses begin to befall them even there in the book of Judges. But then you fast forward, and Israel's going to fall to Assyria. Is eventually Judah's even going to fall to Babylon? And see if you can't make a connection between these cursings and the things that eventually happen to the people. Even the idea here of the ones who... sorry, I'm getting lost in some of these verses. I'll find it here in a minute. But the idea of the ones who will come and even desire now to be eating their children because there's no food. There's nothing that's there. And we're going to see that even in the time of the kings.
Yep.
We begin looking here, and he's going to talk about the idea of being oppressed and carried about by other nations. And certainly we begin to look at that even as they're carried away by the Babylonians. And it's just the idea here that every kind of labor and every kind of enterprise, everything that you enter into, is going to come to utter ruin. There's nothing good that's spoken of from verse 15 on down to the end of this chapter because you would turn away from God. And again, you can go through here and find these conditional statements, and one standing out here, verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Well, why has this happened to us? Because we forgot God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do our fields no longer produce? Why are our children being stillborn? Why do we not have the food that we need? And so people are scrounging even to the effect that they would eat their own children. Why are we being carried away and oppressed by foreign nations? It all goes back because you would not listen unto God.
That's right.
And so some great lessons that are certainly set forth really throughout all of that chapter. Been talking for a while. Maybe there, Chip, you want to throw some things in that highlight or come to your mind?
Well, the one thing that, again, I'm not often sure why my mind goes in certain directions, but as you mentioned earlier, the repeatedly do, continually observe and do, and here's going to be the end if you don't. And so I wonder how it is that a strange doctrine like once saved, always saved, or faith only, things that like that, I wonder how they even exist today, because throughout time, especially in the biblical record, we see that a man is required to do. I couldn't even imagine going through life with the idea of, well, it's too bad that I'm destined for hell. I guess there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or having the opposite effect, even like the Pharisaical mindset. Well, you know, I'm going to heaven regardless of what I do or how I act. I don't know how anybody could live that way. And so it's always been given to us as a choice. You know, Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden. He said, don't do this. They did it anyway, and certainly they had to pay the penalty. You know, the people that, you know, probably had the opportunity to hear Noah for, you know, probably 100 years while this ark was being prepared, they had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to, you know, you, as far as I could tell, you got a chance to get on this boat. You got a chance to get in here, but obviously there was only 8 individuals that made the right choice. Joshua, Moses, continually offering the opportunity to make the right choice. You know, my lands, you come down to the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, here's another choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's what you need to do in order to be saved. They ask, what can we do? And he said, well, here's the answer. And some chose and some didn't. I've heard numbers, and maybe you too. that there could have very well been a million people in the city that day, 100,000, 200,000, whatever. 3,000 is a minority then among a number like that, but notice that there are some that choose to do that which is right and some that don't. And certainly even goes to that Matthew 7 choice that you made a few minutes ago and read. That's what I see throughout this. You know, here's this bloody and putrid picture that's painted before them of what happens if they disobey. And, you know, in the end, you know, in the end, when we see them going into captivity, when we see these things befalling them, it's absolutely a slap in the face. You know, it's an I told you so moment. It's one of these times when God, you know, is able to say, look, I told you so very long ago, if you would follow my laws, if you would do these things, great blessings would come upon you. But if you didn't, I plainly laid them out and left no detail, you know, uncovered. And so we have the rest of the story, and we're able to see, you know, what became of them. But, you know, for them to not drive out the inhabitants, to not, you know, do the things in completion, you know, to do all of the commandments, do all of the ordinances, you have to do them all. You can't just pick and choose. And so a lot of good lessons here before us, but, you know, maybe that's something that kind of stood out in my mind.
And one of the things I, you know, going back through this chapter, and again, I didn't think we had the time to just read all of these blessings and all of these cursings, but I would certainly encourage you to take a little time and even just a cursory scan through chapter 28, but certainly take time to read that you who had been so looked up to are now, he will say, you are going to be this proverb, this byword, verse 37. You're going to be an example, but it's no longer going to be a good one. So everything that once was blessed, everything that once flourished, is now going to be destroyed. And again, your sons and your daughters are going to be scattered. You're going to plant and not enjoy the rewards. You're going to lose the children. No longer are you going to be blessed with fruitfulness in that manner. You're going to be carried away even into captivity. You're going to serve others instead of others serving you. All of these harshness, and like you said, even as you read through this, it's not all a pretty picture. Verse 53 is the verse I was trying to think of earlier. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege. And again, that was the thought that kept coming to my mind reading through that, is I see where these things happen. I know where these things were fulfilled. These weren't empty promises and empty warnings. These things happen because the people forgot God. And so there was a great great plague that would come upon them. But again, it goes back to their choice. And sometimes I think we're unfair that we look at Israel and we just shake our head and say, I don't see how a people could do that. We better be cautious and look at our own lives. We've known the blessings of God.
Yep.
And make sure that we haven't turned our backs on him. Verse that comes to mind again in the New Testament is Acts chapter 13 in verse 46. It's the idea that here that Paul would say, you know, we came unto you with the gospel because it was right. Speaking primarily of the Jews there, Paul and Barnabas would wax bold and said it was necessary the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Here the people of God in that sense counted themselves unworthy of the blessings of God. They were there at their command. They were there for them to behold. But they wanted something else. They wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted to serve the idols. They wanted to go their own direction. And because of that, they chose their own destruction. And so it's such a sad picture to remember. We're still on the other side of Jordan. We haven't entered in yet. And very plainly, they're being told what's going to happen. Either you're going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. and here are a people that we know eventually are going to be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's going to be the remnant. Yes, God is going to continue to protect that remnant to bring forth his son, but eventually they are going to choose to turn away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because they didn't know better. At one time, at least, they did. Now, I've tried to stay away from it because I don't want to walk all over Chip's lesson tomorrow, but
yeah.
I can't close those two chapters without fast-forwarding to Deuteronomy 30 for just a moment, and you can deal with it in more detail, maybe. But I want to end that kind of looking at that section, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, when he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Now, I believe that verse is referencing us back all the way there to chapter 27, 28, and up through 29 and 30. That's the idea. I have shown you life and blessings, and I have shown you death and cursings. Now it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so many great statements we could tie through there. Joshua 24, 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here are people that needed to make that same decision. It says, I choose life. I choose the blessings of God, and I want to follow him. And how easy that is then to look into the New Testament and understand we have the same choice. We have the same decision before us. What do you choose? There are not many people that say, I choose death. I want to be cursed. But we do it by the manner of life that we live. We do it by the choices and decisions that we make. Moses is saying, I've set this option, I've set this choice before you. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be his people. He wants to be among you. What will you choose? And of course, the emphatic understood is choose life.
Mm-hmm.
Choose to follow him and choose to enjoy these blessings that he has laid out before you. Any thoughts on that before we wrap up today, Chip?
I reflected just for a moment there back at the Mount Sinai, you know, there at the foot with the golden calf, you remember, and he would stand before the people in Exodus 32 and verse 26 where it's recorded for us and say, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.
Hmm.
And so we're still making that same choice today because when you see that great invitation that's recorded over in Matthew, you know, was it 11, chapter
right.
11, the great invitation, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. And so, you know, we can make the choice to come unto him, choose life, or we can choose to walk the other direction and spend an eternity in a devil's hell.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to certainly give a shout out to all those that are in the chat window this morning. Appreciate your attendance there, Chris and Miss Ann, his good mama. And my good wife, all are in the chat box this morning. Appreciate your attendance there. Appreciate y'all listening.
Mm-hmm. And encourage you, if you're not taking advantage of that, jump in with us. We'll know you're there. And also, maybe you have a question or comment as we go along. And certainly throw that out. Sometimes that gets lively, and there's a discussion going on there that we don't even get to. But oftentimes, we'll try to deal with those comments as they come up. And so, encourage you to take advantage of that if you have not in the past. And with that, we will certainly bid you a good day. I hope that you continue listening here throughout the day to great programs, and also join us again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Again, we'll be wrapping up the book of Deuteronomy, and so hope that you are with us for that occasion. And we hope that, as always, we hope that you have a great day.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network.
Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.